We know that the word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have ordained, amen, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to talk this morning from the subject, how to deal with an uneven hand. How to deal with an uneven hand. Thank you, ushers. Is God fair? No, God isn't fair. I say it undeniably, I say it inequitably. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever say he is fair. He says he's all powerful. He says he knows all things. He says he's everywhere at the same time. He says he's love, he's grace, he's mercy, he's holy. But never do you hear God saying he is fair. Look at the distribution of the talents in our text. To one he gave 5, to another 2, and to the third person 1. That is unfair or unequal distribution. There's no way of getting around it. God is not fair. The classic argument is that God gives to us what we can handle. And you are absolutely right, but if we were to stand in line today and the person next to us got 5, the other person got 2, and God gave us only 1, amen, many of us would look at God and say, what's wrong with me? Why didn't I get 5 like them? Why don't I get 2? But the bottom line is that all of us have to live with the hand we've been dealt. And God doesn't deal the cards equitably all of the time. God doesn't deal the cards based upon fairness. You know that when you're dealt cards, the first thing you do is size up your hand. 9 times out of 10, you're dealt an uneven hand. But you've got to stay in the game and pull cards from the deck, because with every new card, your hand has the possibility of changing. A whole lot of people started out with an uneven hand. But across the journey, you've gotten some more cards. And things are beginning to even up now. In other words, it doesn't look as bad as it used to look. Do I have any witnesses today? You see, what we have to understand is that God wants us to acknowledge the hand we've been dealt. You have got to admit that you have the hand. You might not like the hand, you might not be happy with the hand, but for now, it's the best hand you have. You also have to hold your cards close to your chest so that nobody else can see your hand. But y'all know a lot of us reveal our hand by constantly and chronically complaining about everything that ain't right in our lives. Tell your neighbor, learn how to play your cards close to your chest. If you've got 5, fine. If you've got 2, fine. If you've got 1, fine. What you must do is acknowledge the hand that you have. When Jesus tells this parable, Jesus does not make any bones about the fact that there is an unequal distribution. I don't care how you exegete the text. I don't care how you interpret it. I don't care what kind of hermeneutics you apply to it. Jesus never offers an apology for the text. Nor does he ever answer the question of why he unequally distributes. But he does say that you have to accept or acknowledge what is in your grasp. Oh my, everybody in here this morning does not have the same gift. Everybody in here does not have the same ability. And before you get to complaining about the hand you've been dealt, look at the kind of hand our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, was dealt. The King of Kings, the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords, tiptoed through the back door of human history. Dropped from the loins of a virgin on a bed of straw in a manger in Bethlehem. Born to a disadvantaged people called the disinherited. Somewhere between his 12th and 30th year, the Bible lets us know that his father died and he assumed the responsibility of taking care of his mother, his brothers, and his sisters. I'm talking about an uneven hand. When he was baptized in the Jordan, he made his way into the wilderness where he was tempted on 3 different occasions. After 40 days, he came out of the wilderness and began doing good. You Bible readers know the blind received their sight. The deaf got their hearing, the dumb their speech, the lame their limbs. He even raised dead folk from their sleeping places. But you know, the more good he did, the more his enemies got on his trail. No friend of the Pharisees, no friend of the scribes, no friend of the Sadducees, no friend of the Herodians. Look at the hand he was dealt. He selected 12 men, and every one of them, save the IRS agent, every one of them, amen, was a blue-collar worker. Not one academician, not one educator, not one economist, not one engineer, not one architect, not one social activist. And in the end, you know what happened. Every one of them turned on him. I'm talking about an uneven hand. Even his family didn't really grasp who he was. One day, the Bible says when his mama, his brothers, and sisters came to interrupt him, he raised the questions, who is my mother? Who is my father? And who are my brothers and sisters? And he asked his God the Father while in Gethsemane to let him out of the salvation contract. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But aren't you glad that he went on to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But that was not the end of the problem. Because if it were the end of the problem, why on Calvary would he cry out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then in the end, the most horrendous thing of all, crucified on a hill called Calvary. Not between two candlesticks on an altar. Not in the sanctuary, amen, amen, but out at the place of the skull. He died. I'm trying to drive home my point. And the point is, Jesus had to live with the uneven hand he was dealt. Look at him, y'all, not complaining, not feeling sorry for himself. Now, I need to tell you that acknowledging my hand does not mean that I'm resigned to keep my hand. That's my second point. In other words, these are the cards in my hand now. But the longer I stay in the game, do I have a witness? The more apt my hand is about to change. No, I'm not resigned to the hand that I have. And since I'm not resigned to the acknowledged hand, I'm going to believe that God is somehow going to change my condition. God is going to rectify my circumstance. Am I by myself here today? I may be down tonight, but about 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be back on my feet again. Because if I keep calling on God long enough, he's going to have to hear me when I cry. How many people have called upon the Lord and you may have had to wait, but God heard your cry? Do I have a witness today? I don't know how you feel about it, but I thank God that I'm not so Baptist that I can't be a Christian. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, I tell your neighbor, you're not resigned to keep the hand you've been dealt. This week and this weekend, we are commemorating the 1963 March on Washington. The March on Washington grew out of the fact that we as a people acknowledged that we had been dealt an uneven hand, stolen from the shores of Africa. An uneven hand. Many died and suffered subhumane and inhumane abuse as we were brought through the Middle Passage, brought to the shores of this brave new land only to be sold off like cattle to the highest bidders. African American slaves worked the fields, cleaned the homes of white masters, nursed their children, all for nothing. African-American slaves worked or died at the hands of evil tyrants. Even after the Civil War, blacks suffered racism and violence perpetrated upon them by so-called Christian people. But the March on Washington represented a collective awakening by black folk in this nation that even though we were willing to acknowledge the fact that we had been dealt an uneven hand, we went to Washington to let them know we're not resigned to live with that hand forever. When I was a kid here in Pleasant Hill, I remember the choir used to sing a song that said, "If you take one step, God will take two." And my brothers and sisters, the theology of that song is this: if you show some initiative, if you make an effort to come out of your chronic condition, instead of always complaining about your condition, if you stop pouting and take one step, God will invade your circumstance and make a way when it looks like there is no way. Is there anybody here who has ever been between a rock and a hard place? Has anybody here ever had your back against the wall? Has anybody here ever been between the devil and the deep blue sea? But just when you thought you were about to lose it, just when you thought you were about to sink beneath the waterline, when you put forth an effort, God inserted himself in your condition and did the impossible. Do I have any witnesses today? So it was at the March on Washington that Dr. King put into words what many could only feel in their hearts. And that is that there has to be something better than this. And so Dr. King said, in essence, that in spite of how it looks right now. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Black men and white men and Hispanic men and Asian men and women. Is there anybody here who's willing to announce to the world that you are somebody? That you will not let the color of your skin define what you can accomplish. That you will not let where you were born and what side of the tracks you were born on determine what you can do in this life. He said, I have a dream. Hold on, Bro Palmer. That one day his children would live in a land where they would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And so, y'all, on this Wednesday, 50 years after the March on Washington, an African-American president will speak in commemoration of what our ancestors put in motion. And that is that we do not have to be resigned to things as they are. That's why they would sing songs like, "We Shall Overcome." That's why they would sing songs like, "I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around." God can make a way out of no way. Do I have a witness today? God can open doors that no man can shut. God can put joy in the midst of your sorrow. Do I have a witness? God can reduce your mountains to valleys, and he can make your valleys mountains if you trust and never doubt. God will, not God might, not there's a possibility, but God will bring you out. Is there anybody here today? You can testify in your own life that you were down, that it looked like you were out, but you didn't give up the race, you didn't throw in the towel, but you said, I'm gonna stay with Jesus. And you ought to be brave enough, you ought to be bold enough to testify right now and say, I made it with the help of God. Do I have a witness? So number one, you've got to acknowledge the hand you've been dealt. Number two, you've got to not be resigned to keep things as they are. But then the third thing that speaks to me from this text is that even though the brother only got one talent, I think I have some witnesses here who will testify that one talent is better than no talent. Sometimes we spend so much time complaining and murmuring that we don't take the time to praise God for what he has done, to give him praise for the blessings that we have. Is there anybody here today? If you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, can you testify with Pastor Gunn that I may not have billions like Bill Gates, I may not have 3 or 4 mansions like Oprah Winfrey, but I praise God for what he's done in my life. Give him praise, tell him thank you. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Is there anybody here? You made up in your mind that you're in the fiery furnace right now, but I'm not staying in the furnace. I'm coming out, I'm coming out. And when I come out, I'm coming out with my hands up, because I'm gonna give God praise. Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow? Won't he give you hope, hope for tomorrow? You ought to thank him that he's brought you. I said he brought you. He didn't just bring you a mighty long way. Tell somebody, he brought me all of the way.
Tell him thank you.
Y'all sit down. I'm closing, but as I prepared my heart for this message today, I couldn't help but think back on our former pastor, our pastor, Reverend M.W. Harrison, and a poem that he used to recite so often. And I went online, I said, I gotta find that poem, and I wanna close with this poem because, amen, number one, acknowledge the hand that you dealt. Number two, don't resign to stay in that condition. And number three, praise God all along the way. With one talent, with two talents, with five talents, give God the praise. Our young people need to know that we didn't just get to the White House without some suffering. Our young people need to know that we didn't get into these good jobs that we have now without some struggle, without having to put up with some stuff, without having to suffer some abuse, without having to be talked about. And come on, where are my witnesses at? You know you had to struggle every step of the way. If you know anything about racism and discrimination and prejudice, you know that whatever it takes them to do, we've got to do twice and three times and four times as much to get the promotion, to get the pay raise. So don't sit there and act like you made it on a bed of ease. Our children need to know. Because when I look at what's happening in North Carolina, they're trying to take us back. When I look at what's happening in Texas, when I look at what's happening right here in Louisiana, our young folks need to know the fight ain't over. You better, amen, just because you got on $200 and $300 tennis shoes now, just because we can wear $500 and $600 suits now, some things are happening in this nation that we might have to kick off these shoes and get out of these coats and get back on the street and let the world know we're not going back. I was so happy to hear Al Sharpton say, you know, they're coming up with all these voter ID laws, and Sharpton said, if you get to the poll and they ask you for your voter ID, you pull out a picture of Medgar Evers. Here's my voter ID. Pull out a picture of Martin Luther King. Pull out a picture of Rosa Parks. Pull out a picture of folk who bled and died so that we can vote. And y'all, I need to tell you, we may not be able to change the laws that they're implementing, but this is what we need to do. Whatever the law is, if we got to get IDs, get the IDs. But whatever we do, go vote, go vote, go vote. This is the poem that Reverend Harrison would often recite, and it was encouraging to me as a young person in this church. It's entitled, I'm Determined to Be Somebody Someday. The present conditions and dark circumstance may make it appear that I have not a chance. The odds may be against me, this fact I admit. I haven't much to boast, I don't need any music. I haven't much to boast of, just a little faith and grit. In spite of the things that stand in my way, I'm determined to be somebody someday. There's no royal blood a-cruising in my veins. No great family background for me remains. I haven't had a chance as others have had. My living conditions have been kind of bad. But it makes no difference what folks think or say. I'm determined to be somebody someday. Some may think that I have made a poor start. Well, maybe I have, but I'll handle that part. At the end of each round, I'll be on my feet. For there's something in me that's so hard to beat. The fight may be tough, but I'm in it to stay. For I'm just determined to be somebody someday. There's really somewhere I would like to go. There's truly some things that I would like to know. There's certainly some things that I'd like to see. And something special I'd like to be. Let others do as they will or may. But as for me, I'm determined to be somebody someday. As a member of a once downtrodden race, to the courts of heaven, I've appealed my case. I know that Jehovah is the judge on the bench. Though men may curse, deride, and lynch, my blood will cry from the ground and say, though you slay me, I'll be somebody someday. My head may be bloody and my skin may be black, but nothing shall throw me off the track. I'll climb the ladder round by round until my feet strike higher ground. And when I do, just remember what I say. I'm determined to be somebody someday. Come on and give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. Let your haters do what they want to do. Let folks say what they want to say. Let them try to pass laws to hold us back and keep us down. But is there anybody who has the same determination? I'm going to be somebody. With God, I'm going to be somebody. Come on, stand on your feet and give the Lord praise in this place. There may be someone here on this Sunday morning. Send a man, send a woman, send a boy, send a girl. This message was for you today. You came in here sad and depressed and all bent out of shape because when you look at the hand you've been dealt, seems like other folk have more, are doing better than you. Amen. But I've come by to encourage you today, my brother, to encourage you, my sister, that you don't have to leave it as it is. Put it in the Lord's hands. I said, put it in the Lord's hands. Anybody found out that when you put your life in the Lord's hands, he made something out of your life? Come on and thank him in this place today. If you're here, my brother, if you're here, my sister, without Christ as your Savior, the gospel message is that God left his throne in glory. He took on the form of a human, born in a manger, amen. He grew up and became a man, and they took him to court, and they tried him unfairly and unjustly, and ultimately he died on the cross. The Bible says they pierced him in his side, and when they pierced him, blood and water came streaming down. And you need to understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen. But because of his shed blood, amen, he doesn't just cover my sin. I've said it before. If my sins were just covered, that means they would still be there. And whenever somebody wanted to mess with me or point fingers of condemnation at me, all they'd have to do is remove the covering. But I'm glad the Bible doesn't say he just covered my sins. The Bible says that with his precious blood, he washed them whiter than snow. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see sinners. He sees saints. If you want to be a saint today, my brother, my sister, walk this aisle right now and say, preacher, I want to be a saint. Amen. Amen. I want to give my life to Jesus. Invite him into my heart. He'll come into your life right now. If that's you, my brother, if that's you, my sister, come on, make your way to the altar. Secondly, there's a backslider. You want the joy restored. Guess what? He will restore the joy. Anybody tired of being sad and depressed? Let him restore the joy in your life. And then last but not least, there are those of you who know God, he's real in your life. You're just looking for a church where you can worship God in spirit and in truth. In these three areas, church, if you'll pray, somebody will come. In these three areas, as we pray, as we sing, step out on his word. Come on, come unto Jesus. I see you, my sister. I see you. God bless you. Come unto Jesus. Come. There's another. We're waiting on you. Come on. Come on. Come on.